Welcome to the Black Sparrow Media Internet Broadcast Network.
Everybody, and welcome into the 113th installment of Linux in the Ham Shack. I am your co-host for the evening, Russ K5TUX, and up there somewhere in Canadaville is Pete V2XPL. Say hello to the people, Pete.
Hello to the people, Pete, and good day, eh?
Yeah, something like that. That almost sounded like professional. I didn't have my mic muted, and the intro is nice and short, and it almost sounds like we have some clue what we're doing. Not bad. Yep. After 113 episodes.
It was so short that it actually caught me off guard. I was sitting there in the text box like, oh, gotta talk soon.
Yes, and I just want to make sure that everybody's paying attention and that we're listening to our feedback and doing things the way you want it. So
Exactly.
And as is customary for the last few episodes since Pete has come on board, I have done no preparation whatsoever for this show, and Pete has done all of it.
You did a little bit. Come on, give yourself some credit.
No, I'm not even going to give myself a little bit of credit because you've pretty much done it all. Although you're going to ask me a question very first thing out of the gate.
And you posted the music, and you did the outline for the Etherpad, so, you know, you contributed.
Oh, thanks very much.
It's a team effort, man.
I feel like I'm a very small part of my own show.
Work with me.
Okay. So anyway.
Oh, and by the way, this is my 10th episode. It should be a big thing. We should celebrate. Hooray. 10 fingers clapping.
10 fingers clapping.
For my 10th episode anniversary. Spectacular. There you go.
So, okay, there.
That's all I need. I'm happy now.
Excellent. Oh, yes. I should always have that button handy, shouldn't I?
Excellent.
Yeah. Excellent.
So, anyway, this is episode 113, and the website is broken. So, I just want to, Pete put this down in the Etherpad because apparently he was going into the website and noticed that things had changed. Well, it turns out that many months ago, if not years ago, the theme that I was using for our website had undergone a stop in development. But things were going okay. The only problems I really had with it was every time I tried to install a new plugin, it would screw up the column format. And I finally got sick of dealing with that, so I changed the theme. In doing so, the columns got fixed, but everything else broke. So I am slowly working through fixing all of that. Basically, all of the content is still there. There's a few things you can't get to right now unless you know what the links are, but I should have everything back up to some state of normalcy in the next day or two, probably long before anyone hears this. So they'll probably wonder what I'm talking about because everything's okay by the time this comes out and everything's already been fixed. Anyway, if you're wondering if, you know, why the website looks a little bit different, that's why, and it's going to continue to look that way going forward.
It doesn't look that bad. It looks different. It just caught me off guard. At first, I thought I was on the wrong website when I dialed it in, and obviously I wasn't. Most things seem to work. I haven't tried everything, so I shouldn't say that. Most things seem to work quite well. I'm a little taken aback by how small the chat box is, only because I have horrible eyes and I can't see in the chat box. I usually stretch to like really big. And that's kind of what caught me off guard at first. But aside from that, I haven't seen anything. A few things missing, but most of it is there. So good job so far, Russ.
Yeah, the problem with the chat box and the Etherpad, two things which normally would be accessed through the website via an iframe, is in order to create a nice wide view of those things, I have to create a page template that doesn't have the sidebars in it so you can actually stretch out, you know, the center content. But doing that requires some actual manual editing inside WordPress, and I haven't got around to doing that yet. It will get done, so you'll have a nice wide chat box again. You just won't have it for today.
That's okay. I can wait.
That's good. I'm glad you can wait. And
I don't have a choice.
Yeah, and I presume you don't go to the Etherpad through the website. You just go directly to the normal.
I do. Yes. It's true. I can go through the website, can I? I'm always like racking my brains like, what was that address again? And then I find it, not realizing that it'd just be easier to go to the website probably because I'm racking my brain going, okay, it was this.
Yeah.
It's getting in there though.
The URL is a little complicated for getting into the Etherpad. That's why I created a link to it on the website so that those people who are subscribers can get to it. And that is one of the features of being a subscriber. And now that I have to fix the website anyway, I'll be updating that page along with it.
And there you go. At least on the plus side, the nice people who are joining us in the chat room are able to interact, which is a good thing. So thanks for the kind words, by the way. I'm getting some good feedback there in the chat room. I'm keeping an eye on it, despite the fact that it's teeny tiny and I can't see. I wear glasses. For those of you who don't know, I've worn glasses since I was 5. And when I was a kid, they were Coke bottles. So gives you an idea of how well I see without glasses.
So has your vision improved at all or gotten worse, or just the glasses are better and they don't have to be as thick, or what?
The glasses are better now. The technology, the glass, the technology.
The technology, we can rebuild them.
Yes, they can rebuild them, and they have. And they're actually quite thin, and I looked normal now. Well, if I ever look normal, my glasses look normal anyways. But no, when I was a kid, my vision has worsened over the years because I'm in the magic ages of between 40 and 50. My optometrist tells me that that's when your vision goes down. So it was stable for many, many years. And now every couple of years, it goes down like a quarter point. And she says it's quite normal and will stable in my 50s, at which point I'll continue to wear glasses.
Well, I've been wearing glasses since I was about 5 as well, so I know what it's all about.
There you go. Separated at birth. Yet another proof.
Not that you could tell by looking at us.
No, no. Well, you know, it's kind of like the movie Twins. They didn't look like each other.
It's not a tumor. Oh, that was a different movie. That was Kindergarten Cop, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Oh, well, yeah, it was still Arnold.
Still Arnold.
All right, so you've got a couple of topics in here you apparently want to talk about, but you didn't put links or anything like that, so guess what? It's all you.
I know. I just didn't have time because I've actually put a lot of these thoughts down on paper, and I was just putting the... Anyways, let's just get to the topics at hand, shall we? An article I came across via ZDNet, which is a small website, as I stall to get to my notes. ZDNet's a business technology news website that I occasionally peruse. And there's an article there by Steve Von Nichols, which we've talked about before, one of their tech reviewers, columnists, or whatever you want to call them, dated September 5th. And it goes, Linux Professional Institute is putting Linux in the classroom. And I thought it was a little bit of an interesting article in that it states that the gentleman went to OSCON recently, which is the open source conference, which a lot of you may know, a lot of you may not. And apparently everyone, according to this gentleman, everyone, including Microsoft, is looking for people with Linux and open source experience. And they were claiming that, you know, many, many employers are looking to hire Linux staffers in the next few months. And many of them are having trouble finding qualified individuals. Qualified in Linux, of course, because the mainstream, anybody who's going into computers, many people, not everybody, go into, you know, the more popular OS programming. And so very few go into Linux. So this LPI, it's called the Linux Professional Institute, is trying to... Sharon's come in with popcorn. The LPI is trying to put Linux in the classroom by offering a program which is going to power educators and prepare students at various entry-level Linux essential certifications. So they want to create a certificate of achievement to help people achieve Linux certifications. But it's not going to be a hardcore Linux certification like you would get with the Red Hats. You know, I'm not sure what their higher Linux certification is called, but I guess Russ could probably talk more about this than I could in terms of certifications. But I thought it was an interesting little project where they just want to form people enough to give them a working knowledge of what it is and give them you know, a little bit of a heads up on the job market, as it were.
Okay, so you found me not paying attention.
Well, there's a question in there for you.
Oh, good. I wasn't paying attention. No, I heard something about LPI certification, which I could probably have spoken to 8 years ago, but couldn't now.
Well, they were the Linux Professional Institute wants to do this lower end certification, which is much lower than what's called their Red Hat high end or higher end Linux certification, which I'm not familiar with. So I'm guessing that's equivalent to, you know, whatever high end Microsoft courses offer in their networking. This would be more just of a hands-on training for, you know, the basics in Linux, I guess, people who would be programming smaller apps. The article didn't go into great detail. I just thought it was neat that an entity is out there promoting Linux in the classroom and trying to help people who are already programmers or who want to become programmers get a little bit of a Linux background. So just to give them a bit of an advantage, an edge.
Well, I think it shows that Linux is a necessary skill for the tech world going forward, and having seen that, then it's now being promoted at the classroom level, which it ought to be.
Well, if they're saying that at OSCON, everybody was looking for people with Linux and open source experience, it doesn't surprise me because look at a lot of the mobile devices now, how many of them have Linux backbones, which means that you need people to be programming this stuff. And I guess it's like everything else, you know, doctors and nurses, there's not enough programmers now.
Well, I've heard there's not enough doctors and nurses anymore either, so I'm not sure what everybody's doing. Maybe they're all working at Taco Bell. I don't know. Well, they're certainly not working at Taco Bell programming the back-end servers.
Yeah.
Okay, so
whenever I go to Taco Bell, they seem to be quite efficient. So I imagine their computer people know what they're doing.
Well, perhaps so. It's probably outsourced to India.
Yeah, maybe. Well, they're are they owned by KFC in the States as well? Totally digressing, but the KFC is the ones who offer their products here. Is it the same thing there?
As far as I know, it is the same here, yes.
Okay. I'm not a big fan of Taco Bell. I like it. I prefer this place called Taco John's, which it's kind of in the Midwest, the Northern Midwest. The Northern West. Michigan. Carry on.
I guess we're going to have a shout out for Linux, which less than 2 weeks ago turned 22 years old. 22 years old as of the 25th of August.
25th, yeah. I didn't actually realize that Linux had a birthday, like many things that are created that are virtual, you know, somewhat virtual. You can't always pinpoint a date on it. So I just thought that it was a really neat thing that they actually had a birthday for Linux. And it's 22 years old, something I came across. I didn't write the source down. But happy birthday, Linux. We should get it a cake and eat it.
It can have its cake and eat it too. It's just that good.
We can have the cake.
Well, yeah, let's do that.
So anyhow,
I can on my diet though. I'll look at the cake.
Got a diet cake.
Diet cake. Yeah, that's called an empty plate.
Yeah, there you go. For those who are interested, on August 25th, 1991, a Finn computer science student, named Linus Torvald, made the following announcement at the Usenet group called comp.os.minix. And it read as such: I'm doing a free operating system, just a hobby. Won't be big and professional like GNU for 386 and 486 AT clones. So there you go. 22 years later, look at how far you've come, Linux.
Here's looking at you, kid.
Here's looking at you.
That's right.
Wish I had a drink to clang.
Well, I can clang my drink against my microphone. There we go. Oh, you can hear the ice jingling. All right. So what's this next thing? I'm looking at the website, but it's Radio Talk 2013. It looks like it's a bunch of Canadians involved.
It is. Radio Talk 2013 is actually a small event here in Montreal. You know, very few people would have heard about it. It's been around for 3 years now. It's actually a sharing of ideas. It's not a ham fest. It's a talk based on sharing of ideas. It's an informal conference that's member run. There's several presentations and displays, and they have various topics. They talk about various presentations, anything from satellite work, century-old radio, DXP expeditions, digital remote station operation, amateur communication on laser beams. They have displays from CANWARN, which is the Canadian Weather Warning Service, ham radio based, the high altitude balloon people, things like that. So it's a small conference, but the reason I wanted to mention it, that this thing happens every fall this year, let's see, I think it's September 28th, if I recall. For those of you who may be in Montreal on September 28th, you might want to come out. But the reason I'm mentioning it, it's because this used to be a ham fest put on by the something called the WIARC, which is the West Island Amateur Radio Service, the west part of Montreal's ham radio club, basically. And they had this ham fest going on for years and years and years. And because there's a few clubs in and around Montreal, and every one has a ham fest, these guys' ham fest was getting less and less people from year to year. So I thought it was quite exciting that they, you know, figured it's not working. Let's reinvent ourselves. And they reinvented themselves as this thing called Radio Talk. It's their third year, and it's getting bigger and better. And I just thought that it was a really, really great way to just, you know, something's not working, let's do something that is. And it's just been a success. So just wanted to mention it. Shout out to WIARC if any of y'all are listening. And for those of you who may have the same challenges in your radio club, well, there's always hope.
All right. Well, glad to hear it. I won't be in Montreal anytime soon that I'm aware of, but I would participate if I could.
Yeah, I actually haven't been yet. The West Island is way the other end of Montreal from where I am, and I'm kind of lazy that way. I don't want to drive that far.
I have faith that you'll make it someday.
I will, actually. I plan on it. It's just that it won't be this year, unfortunately, because that weekend I will not be around.
All right.
But, yeah, one of these days I will be there to see you guys. Not you guys as in the people listening to me, but you guys as in...
the royal you guys who are at the radio talk, yeah.
There you go. Anyhow.
All right. So one last humorous note before we go into our first break. Apparently some RF energy interrupted a wedding.
Yeah. And this one is actually verified too. I saw this on one of the ham radio websites. Can't remember if it was on QRZ or no, Amateur Radio Newsline I was reading the other day, and this one came across, and I couldn't believe it. So I double checked, and yeah, it was actually in one of the UK newspapers. A funeral in the UK was interrupted by RF broadcast at the funeral of a 78-year-old gentleman by the name of Brendan Duffy, who was a Dublin-born grandfather of four, died last August 8th. So this is quite recent, and was taking place at St. Edward's Church in Windsor in the UK. While his nephew Joe was reading the eulogy. While his nephew Joe was got Brendan's, you know, Mr. Duffy is rolling over in his grave right now. Anyhow, while his nephew was reading the eulogy, people were told to prepare for a landing. Apparently, the service was disrupted by radio signals coming from a passing plane. The church is directly under the flight path to Heathrow Airport. So basically, it seems that the wireless public address system in the church was the same as the frequency used to transmit in the plane. I don't really quite get that, because I thought that the intercom system in a plane, the stewardess were telling you to put on your seatbelts and get ready for landing. I thought that was a closed system, but who knows? Maybe it's wireless now. I haven't flown in a number of years. So anyhow, one of the local radio personalities who was at the funeral, who knew the gentleman, later told a reporter that everyone at the service was looking up to heaven trying to figure out where the voices were coming from. So anyway, this one was verified in the dailymail.co.uk, which is our British newspaper, found on Amateur Radio Newsline. So yeah, quite humorous indeed.
Ah, caught me with my mic muted. Ha ha.
Wow, it does happen.
Yeah, it does happen every once in a while. Sometimes I have to cut myself off. So, all right.
Flushed you for a second.
All right, interesting story. And yes, I always thought they were on closed circuits too, you know, a wired sort of system. I don't recall them. You know, I'm pretty sure every time they pick the phone up off the bulkhead wall, it's connected to a cord. But I don't know. I haven't flown in a couple of years, so I don't know.
Well, maybe it goes through I don't know. I have no idea. So yeah. I can't see how it would go through the radio system. I just don't get that part. But unless they're using a wireless mic now so that the stewardesses can, you know, run around in the aisle and sing karaoke. I don't know.
Well, half the time the wired one doesn't work very well. So I really hope they haven't switched to wireless yet.
Indeed.
So anyway, well, that's it for the first segment. And we've got some music before we get into our main topics for the night. So we'll let Pete introduce his selection.
Circus Underground. I came across them quite by accident. Rock group. I really couldn't find a whole lot of information about them, unfortunately. But this song is called Save You. It's pretty rocking, and I thought it would be a good way to get the show started, get the energy, get the blood pumping for the next part of the show. So here we go. Save You by Circus Underground from Jamendo. I actually listened to the end so I didn't get surprised, because I'm like, oh no, there's one of those tunes that for sure is going to end with a bang. But it ended with an echo. Oh wait, I can do that.
No, it ended with an eku.
Echo.
Oh, I can do that too, but I'll probably mess something up.
We're all waiting in anticipation.
Yeah. Well, that's a different kind of echo.
Okay, let's just lose everyone in the podcast now by continuing to do this.
Okay. Yeah, let's do that.
Let's not say we did.
All right. So
everybody like that tune?
I love that tune. It was a good rocker, definitely.
It is.
You definitely pick the up-tempo stuff, which I appreciate.
I'm an up-tempo guy, you know?
You are an up-tempo guy.
Woo! Party!
Well, this first topic I thought was kind of interesting because when I first saw it, I was thinking that it was an oscilloscope-type software package, but it turns out that somebody has written an analytics package for ham logging, which is an interesting application that I'm not sure that anyone thought of before, but this is pretty cool.
Yeah, I know. It is pretty cool. Let me get back to my notes here because I'm just all over the place tonight. I don't know. I have three screens, four windows. Usually I'm just kind of bouncing back and forth from one to the other. Everything's smooth, no problem. Tonight, everything's in the same place and I can't find anything. I'm like, where's that? What?
Meanwhile, back at the point.
Montreal. Welcome.
It's now six minutes past the hour. Traffic is the same as it was.
Traffic's the same as it was on the Champlain Bridge.
And now word from our sponsor.
QScope is what we're talking about right now. QScope is indeed an online application. So, Linux users quite often love online applications because they don't have to install anything and it works on every platform. So, there's something to be said for that, except that if your internet connection isn't working, you're pooched. But aside from that, they're really cool. Designed by a gentleman by the name of Yannick DeVosi, who presently lives in Vietnam, although judging by his QRZ profile doesn't look Vietnamese, but who knows. His call sign is XV4Y, Zulu Victor 4 Yankee, and he runs a page called, it's a webcam page called QScope. You guys can check it out at QScope.org, all in one word, QScope.org. And it's, like Russ was saying, provides an analytics, statistics, and charts for your amateur radio log. While it was designed originally with the contester in mind, the developer soon realized that the statistics that it generated could be useful pretty much for any ham in many, many applications. So what you do is I actually signed up and wanted to try it out. And then when I went to import my logs, I realized I didn't have any logs right now, so I couldn't try it. So bad on me. But anyways, basically you import your ADIF2 or Cabrillo logs, ADIF and Cabrillo, for those people who use logs, know that that's the most standard formats for logs. And you import them into the QScope database, and then you just basically browse the statistics and charts pages. The application allows for exporting your results in PDF, so if you want to share your results on various web links or, you know, show off to your friends or whatever you want to do with that. So PDF is also quite useful. Permits you to create many different what they call containers. So you can import as many logs as you want, and you can classify, aggregate the data the way you want. It's kind of like a little database. It's actually quite powerful for such a simple application. So basically, the information that you can get, there's a long list of them. I won't read them all, but number of QSOs, operating time, unique call signs worked, for those of you who like contesting, DXCC entities, CQ, ITU zones, average minimum and maximum QSO rates over periods of 30, 60 minutes, activities maps. Let's see, I'm skipping a few. Charts with numbers of QSOs per unique call sign, per band, per mode, per operator. The same thing with points. Charts with numbers of QSOs per CQ and ITU zones. It's just never ending. It's just, it's really, really cool. And I'm actually going to get one of my logs and try this thing out on the weekend, because during the week I have trouble finding time for myself, but that's okay. So the developer says that he's providing it free of charge, and it will remain free of charge as long as he's able to provide the required resources. So registration and usage are free. He says give it a try. He also mentions that if you want to help improve the service and make it permanent, please think about a donation. Any amount is welcome, he mentions. The budget for renting a small dedicated server in order to run this application for 200 users is estimated at around $500 per year. So if you can help Yannick out, please do so. Like I said, I signed up. Basically, you just put in your username. You suggest your call sign, which is the most obvious for a ham. I use my ham radio call sign as a username everywhere now because I never have to be VE2XPL69 because there's no other VE2XPLs out there. It's a good trick for those of you. Many of you probably already know that. But anyways, you throw that in and he'll send you a confirmation email. Click on the link and away you go. It's very easy to use, very, very intuitive, and I recommend everyone check it out. I don't know if you had a chance to check it out, Russ. If you haven't, maybe on the weekend you can have a poke at it too.
Well, I'm actually looking at it right now, and there's a couple of things that strike me that could be done better about this website. I hate to be the negative person like I always am, but...
Well, no, because he also wants help in you know, debugging and improvements. So, you know, constructive criticism, it's a good thing.
Well, I'm not sure how constructive this will be, but the two things that I noticed
are... Bash away.
Well, I don't want to bash away. He doesn't have a secure server. So that everything you do, including the passwords and stuff that you get on the site, are sent in the clear, including uploading your logs and everything. And the fact that this is a hosted site, which means all the processing is done remotely, means that you're giving up all your information. Now, I know most people won't care about giving up their, you know, QSO log data, but you still have to enter a username and password. So if you're going to do that, make sure you pick one that you're not using for something else because it's easily compromised.
Damn.
And, and the other thing is, I think it would behoove him, since he's talking about getting donations for running the server and all that stuff, maybe he should think about simply releasing the code, letting people run it on their own machines. Then he wouldn't have to have a dedicated VPS or whatever he's doing for all this processing. And since he's giving away the service for free anyway, maybe he should just, you know, GPL the code, give it out, and let people keep it on their own machines. That way they can set up their own certificates if they want. He doesn't have any expense, and he could probably get developers to help him update his code. So I don't know what his thought process is and why he did it the way he's done it, unless he's just trying to get everyone's log data. Maybe he's a shill for the NSA.
Or the Viet Cong. They're making a comeback.
Well, I'm not as worried about them as I am about our own government, so...
Oh, come on. You remember Gangnam Style?
I thought he was from Vietnam, not South Korea.
Well, yeah, but Yannick's from Vietnam as well. Oh, yes, but yes, okay. Gangnam Style is from Korea. Yes,
South Korea,
yeah. Apologies.
That's okay. It wouldn't be the first time people have confused Asian cultures. Now, where is Richard when you want to, you know, make fun of various ethnicities? That's what his specialty is.
Yeah, well, you know, we'll have him back on one day and he can just let it all out.
Anyway, this does look like a cool kind of concept. I kind of wish for myself, since I'm kind of a security freak when it comes to this kind of thing, that it was implemented a different way, but... The ability to sort of see and analyze your log data is kind of cool. I don't know what people are really interested in other than sort of like award processing, you know, being able to tell how close you are to certain awards and stuff like that. But if you are looking to see like how many times you've contacted South Korea, then this will tell you that and tell you how much time you waste on the air and stuff like that. So.
Well, see, I'm kind of a numbers and statistics freak, so I just kind of gravitated to this anyways because I like numbers, and for no reason I like to see pie charts and see, you know, ratios, and I've always been good at math and I like it. So I had an interest just from that perspective. I'm not a contester, you know, I'm not a DXer. I'm just a very casual HF user, but I do log. I still log on paper. I played around with various logging software, and that's why I kind of thought this was kind of interesting. But yeah, to the average ham, it's kind of neat to check out, but it might not be something that they use permanently. And for what you said, I think that was very constructive. I think that would be the kind of feedback the gentleman would probably love to get. And, you know, if you want to put that... in words, I'm sure he'd love to get the feedback.
I'm pretty sure I just put it in words. Spoken words.
Okay, on paper. Maybe we'll send him the podcast and we don't have to write anything down.
Oh, excellent idea. We should just say, here, listen to our episode. We give you constructive criticism about your project and send him a link.
Yeah, I mean, who knows? Maybe he's looking for someone to develop it. And I don't know. I don't know the guy. I saw the story today. Maybe I'll contact him.
I don't know either. I just think he has a cool call sign, XV4Y. X-ray Victor 4 Yankee.
Absolutely.
I see few XV calls. In fact, I'm not sure I've ever seen one. I've seen XE calls from Mexico, but I'm not sure I've ever seen an XV.
No, I hadn't seen it either. If you go onto his QRZ page, is a picture of him holding, I assume, is his little boy. He's got a cute little boy there, and seems to be a pleasant young man. So let's encourage him.
Yes. Yay. We encourage you. Yes.
Excellent.
Alrighty then. All right.
So let's talk about Ted. Question
in the text box. Sorry, I'm cutting you off.
Oh, no, that's okay. I'm cutting you off. I was going to say, let's talk some about Ted. We haven't talked about Ted in like an episode.
Yeah, indeed. I actually saw this as a post on the LHS website. It mentions that his, TW Ham QTH log version, TV Ham QTH version 1.3 and TW log version 3.2 are now available for release. On his website, you'll find a bunch of applications that are Linux free and open source applications. And he wanted to let us know that he's got some new versions of those. I actually haven't checked any of them out yet. And you guys have talked about them at length, I know, in past episodes. So I'm going to definitely have to do that. It's just one of those things that you write it down and it gets lost amongst all the other papers. And eventually you find it.
Yeah, and there has been a lot of recent development in the programs, and I know some of it was centered around making them 64-bit compatible, so you didn't have to have the 32-bit libraries installed on your 64-bit machine to make them run, which is a great thing. And I'm not sure what other updates were done. He did send out a couple of notices through the LHS mailing list to let people know that things have been updated. And mm-hmm. I have not checked out the changelog, if indeed there is a changelog. Ted is in the chat room right now, so as we're talking, if he would like to tell us what to tell all of you, we will relay that information.
Yeah, he says thanks right there in the chat room. For those of you who aren't familiar with his website, you can find applications for PSK, for logging, for HamQTH, which is basically a QRZ somewhat equivalent, much better, of course, TW Clock, TW CW, and PSK31LX. So pretty much every application you'll need for your digital needs. So check them out. I'm definitely going to, and I apologize to Ted for not having done so yet.
And he promotes us on his webpage, which you so kindly pointed out. Are you
absolutely?
Did you read this thing in italics here? I don't think I'm. You did? Did you?
No, I don't think so. His website states, and I thought this was kind of a neat little mission statement, if that is what it is. These are my ham radio related programs for the Linux operating system. I'm a firm believer in the KISS principle. Of course, for those of you who don't know, KISS is the acronym for Keep It Simple, Stupid. And these programs reflect that. They are full featured, but without a lot of extra bells and whistles. So that makes them smaller, faster, and very stable. So we're just going to call them the $6 million programs.
Hey, we talked about rebuilding stuff earlier on the show. Nice callback. Well done.
I'm a professional, man.
Oh, crap. I just closed something. I am clearly not a professional. And there was a message that he sent to the mailing list that was queued up, and I just released it, being the good moderator doobie that I am. So people should be getting that shortly.
I was going to do that, but I fast realized that I didn't have the administrative access. That's okay.
Well, we need to probably work you into a few more tasks in the future.
Actually, I'm going to make an effort to, because I noticed on the website that the good thing about the change in the website, which is kind of cool, is that I've noticed some things that I hadn't noticed before. I don't know if it's because the contrast in color just made them stick out, but I noticed that there were some recent comments on episode 109 and 110 in on the blog. So I'm going to go in and try to be a little bit more interactive there and on Facebook as well.
Yes, and thanks for pointing that out, because I noticed, as you mentioned it, that the recent comments widget is included twice, so I should probably remove one of them, which I have just done. See, I'm multitasking.
Just doing it live. You're amazing. Are you wearing a cape?
I am not wearing a cape. No. If you've ever watched The Incredibles, you should know you never wear a cape. No capes.
Of course. That was silly of me.
We all know what happens when you wear a cape.
Yes, that's true.
So
you told me you didn't watch cartoons. You lied.
When did I ever say I didn't watch cartoons? I don't remember ever saying that.
In the first episode, I quoted Madagascar, and you're like, oh, I don't watch cartoons.
Oh, no, I don't watch stupid cartoons.
Come on, Madagascar is awesome. You got to watch it just for the penguins.
No, the first Madagascar was great. I have the second and third ones, but I have not seen them yet.
Oh, well, there you go. It's always good to have movies in your library you haven't seen.
Yeah, and there are plenty, which I will get around to someday. Now, Ted is talking about some of the changes he made to his programs, and they're all sort of uber geek programmer stuff. I'm not sure I'm going to relay those. He's talking about integers and pointers and stuff like that because he's like a programmer guy and he knows that kind of thing.
Where do you see that?
Is the text really that small that you can't read? What do you say?
I don't know, Motif widget?
K5 Tux, a int is now shorter than a pointer, so an easy fix. Change some ints to longs.
Oh, yeah, okay. Yeah. I thought that was just somebody talking about their day.
No, he's talking about changing variable types. So variable types, apparently integers are a certain bit length, and longs are a longer bit length. He had to make that change. I'm not sure how that really affects anyone who uses the TW various programs, but it's a fix, and it's been done.
Excellent. Thank you, Ted.
Yes, like, thank you, Ted.
On Ted's website, there's a little quote that says, there are 10 types of people in this world, those who understand binary and those who don't.
Yes, that's one of my favorite quotes of all time.
I never heard that one. I thought that was quite funny.
You have never heard that one before? How can
I've never heard that because I'm not a programmer.
Well,
I live in Canada. I don't know. I'm in Quebec. Everything's against me, man. Everything.
I don't know. It just seems like anybody who's been around a computer has heard that one before or seen it on a t-shirt or something.
Yeah, not me.
Okay. There's
one in every crowd, man.
I guess, that's right, and you're it.
And I'm it.
Yeah, one in every
anniversary and everything.
One in every four people are crazy. If three of your friends seem sane, then you're it. So
there you go.
All right. Well, I think we're going to move on to some feedback and the social media roundup and any other miscellanea that we want to deal with for the third segment. But I am going to introduce our second song, which is not my favorite song, to be quite honest, but it was the best thing that I heard this afternoon while I was fumbling around trying to find something to fill the second slot. So we're going to go with it. It's more of a heavy metal kind of feel, very hard rock into light heavy metal. It's by a band called Sonorant, which I really don't know anything about. They put out a 4-track EP. This is the last track on that EP. It's the eponymous track. It's called Engulfed. And we'll play it here for the 3.5 seconds, or 3.5 seconds. Yeah, that'll probably make people happy. But no, it's about 3.5 minutes. And I'm going to get Pete's feedback at the end on this one because I'm kind of curious. And I haven't actually listened to the whole thing myself, so maybe I'll listen to my own feedback. So
better pay attention at the end. Make sure it doesn't end quick then.
Yeah, that's right. I'll be on it. I'll make sure.
All right.
All right. So here's Sonorant with Engulf. Well, it wasn't super sudden.
No, not too bad. At least it'll give you a little bit of a breeze at the end to let you know.
Exactly. So anyway, like I said, not one of my favorites, but I mean, it could have been worse, I suppose.
Could have been worse, yeah. Could have been, I'm not going to pick on any particular style of music, opera.
Some opera is actually really good.
Yeah, I've never been a fan. I mean, I'm not against the art itself. It's got merit. It's just not something that I choose to listen to actively. If I'm, you know, walking by an opera house and I hear it, I'm not going to, like, you know,
bolt,
gouge my ears out. But that being said, no, I'm not a fan of speed metal. That was, you know, not as speedy as it could get, but a little speedy. And anytime the drum gets, you know, to sound like a machine gun, I lose interest.
Okay.
That being said, it wasn't horrible. Like I said, speedier. It was all right, I guess. I wouldn't buy it, but since it's free, I'll listen.
There you go. It's good enough for free, but I wouldn't pay money for it. That's right.
Sorry, Sonorant.
Well, Sonorant might have some better tracks. I just didn't have a chance to, you know, listen to them all. So
yeah, that's all right. That's how I come across this. I'm always looking for something, you know, that relates to whatever happened across other stuff that I really wasn't planning on coming across. So it's neat that way, how listening to one band brings you to another and seeing who they like. And I don't know. It's just Jamendo is a great site, people. For those of you who haven't discovered Jamendo.com, a great source of free music, and you'll discover all kinds of stuff.
Indeed so. So we do have some feedback, and we should probably get to it, I say as I try and find it.
Segue.
Yeah, no such thing. Okay.
I'm just not into it tonight. It's just I had a nap. That was my mistake. I had a nap before the podcast. It wasn't even a nap. I just lied down on the couch and dozed, and I'm just out of it right now. I just feel like I just can't get my rhythm. I can't follow the. I have people texting me. Harrison was texting me on Skype and in the text box, and he's like, "Look at me, I'm writing to you." And I'm like, I'm having trouble concentrating on one, let alone like three screens. Anyhow.
Okay, well, one we do have is from Daryl, November 6, Delta Tango Oscar, N6 DTO. He has become a yearly subscriber to the show.
Excellent.
And so we'd like to say thank you very much, Daryl, for becoming a subscriber to the show. And he left a little bit of feedback over there on the website. He said, "Hey, Russ and gang, just wanted to help support Linux in the Ham Shack. Thanks for all your work, N6 DTO. So thanks, Daryl.
Excellent. That's very cool.
And he also sends a PS. He says, "How about a Raspberry Pi episode?" Which we have talked about the Raspberry Pi on a few episodes in the past. Not specifically about the Pi, but more like what we've been doing with the Raspberry Pi, if anything. But doesn't the Raspberry Pi seem like a bit of old news now? I mean, there are a lot better sort of single board computers out there. And the Raspberry Pi, while it did make a huge splash because of its price point and all of that, has sort of been shown up by its technical limitations. And some of the other, you know, single board computers that have come out have become a lot more popular in that space than the Pi. So
a good opportunity maybe to do a retrospecticus, not just on the Raspberry Pi, but on the BeagleBone and some of the other things, you know, compare the pluses and minuses, perhaps. I don't know. It's a good idea for a show. But yeah, the Raspberry Pi has been talked about by a lot of podcasts, by a lot of writers. And yeah, it's a little bit, it is old news, but at the same time, people are still using it.
No, they are, and I believe all of those boards have merit. All of those, you know, computers, a small form factor, low power computers have merit. But maybe instead of talking about the Raspberry Pi per se, we should talk about that class of computers instead and some of the better uses for them. That might be, and do your sort of compare and contrast while we do that. That might be a more interesting episode anyway.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, so I guess we'll put that down on the plate for the next couple of shows. Probably won't be the next one, but maybe the one after that, because we do have something coming up for the next show.
Yeah, before I get to that, I have Harrison again in the text box saying that, yeah, I made a mistake before when I was talking about radio talk. For those of you who are listening on the podcast, this event will be over by then, but it is on the 21st of September. I said it was the 28th. But generally, I was trying to avoid dates because this is a podcast after all, and I don't want to date things. But every September, join us for Radio Talk. Anyhow, yeah, in the next episode of Linux in the Ham Shack, we are fortunate to have, and we're blessed to have a special guest, Richard and Brady, who are the hosts of the Low SWR podcast, which many of you are most likely famous, most of you are familiar with. And also, Richard is the developer of something we talked about in the past called the Ham OS, which is a ham radio based distribution for Linux. So we're very excited to have them on board. They've been moving they moved from one town to another recently. So their schedule was quite hectic, but in a couple of weeks, everything should be back to normal. And I'm very much looking forward. I've been listening to Low SWR podcast pretty much since the beginning. We've seen their progress and adventures in ham radio. We've listened to Brady grow up, you know, when he started the podcast. If you guys go to lowswr.com, you'll hear some of the first podcasts. Brady's a little kid and now he sounds like a teenager. And it's kind of neat. And anyway, I was just looking forward to having those guys as guests and ask them all about their podcasts, about their ham radio development, and not ham radio, sorry, their Linux OS developments, and some of their ham radio activities, because they're also quite active in ham radio and in Linux. So perfect guests to have on.
Absolutely. And we're definitely looking forward to that. I guess there was some concern that it may not happen, but we certainly hope it will.
Yeah, there was a caveat because of Richard's work. He may be on call, but he will let us know a few days in advance, so it won't be won't be in the middle of an interview and his beeper will go off and he'll have to run. So we'll know a few days in advance if it's going to happen or not. And if it doesn't, well, break out the juggling pins and we'll entertain you some other way.
Yes, we will have a show no matter what. And one of these days, I'll actually start releasing the shows we've already recorded so people will actually get to hear them.
I didn't want to mention that on the air, but yes, I'm actually looking forward to hearing the last two episodes. As you all know, I love to listen to myself talk.
I've got the first one completely edited and ready to upload, and the second one is mostly ready to go. I'm just really, really stinking lazy right now. So,
well, you know, that what you could say is that September is a busy time for everyone.
Well, that's true. September is a busy time for me, and I have not been able to get those completed, but they will be out soon.
Excellent.
Over the most overused term on a podcast, we'll get the award.
What, more overused than Badger?
No, maybe. Well, we haven't called out the Badger in a while. I'm gonna be reserved because Harrison is in the chat room.
Yeah. All right. Well, we have some feedback from Serge, which I just put in the Etherpad, and hopefully Pete wasn't going crazy while I was typing all that in. But anyway, Serge, ON4AA, Oscar November 4 Alpha Alpha, a longtime listener of the show, and we've mentioned him because he's a software developer and all that good stuff, has sent us a link. And with it, wrapped around it in a nice little package like a croissant, is some email. And he says, "Dear Russ," this apparently didn't go to you, Pete. I'm sorry.
That's okay. It says, "Dear Russ."
"Here is a show suggestion from a Eurotrash LHS podcast listener about some Eurotrash. Don't worry, I won't get into what we think about you Americans." Should we get into what we think about them? Where is ON4AA? Is that Belgium?
Actually, I'm going to get a hold of them, and we're just going to get together and trash you together.
Oh, that's right. I forgot. You're not an American either. You're not even.
I'm not an American.
You're only half human.
Well, that's true, but that would be true no matter where I came from.
Oh, anyway. So he gives us a link, and the link is to an article on needsec.com. Of course, the link will be in the show notes, and I haven't had a chance to look through this whole article, but basically what it says is, "Kali Linux, which is a Linux distribution, improves software-defined radio support," which is a very cool thing because software-defined radio support has been a bit lacking in the Linux world. There's the GNU Radio project and Soft Rocks and stuff like that. And, you know, the support has been out there, but to hear that there is additional support, this is really cool news. Although not intended as such, Kali Linux might end up being the ideal rolling distro for the SDR radio amateur. The list of supported SDR packages is impressive. They include Calibrate for RTL SDR, GR Air Modes, RTL SDR Scanner, Pi RTL SDR, GNU Radio, Lib Osmo Core, GR Extras, GR Bez, Hack RF, UHD, yada, yada, yada.
So are you excited about that? Because I have no idea what any of that is.
I'm excited about the ones I know about, things like GNU Radio and RTL SDR, because I've always wanted, I'm looking forward to eventually getting an RTL SDR type chip, because that's one of those sort of universal receiver boards that all you do is plug in the software for it and it becomes an SDR.
Yeah, you do that with USB sticks now too?
Yeah, that it is a USB stick, and you can get those things for like $20 or $22 or something like that.
So I actually have one of those. Somebody gave me one. I had no idea what to do with it. I think I wanted it at Hamfest or something.
Well, if it's an RTL 2832U, then that's the chipset you need, and it works with almost all of these SDR packages. So you should try it out, see what happens.
Cool. Well, I guess I will. I guess I found a use for it now, see?
Yeah, absolutely. Best 7.3 Eurotrash Surge ON4AA. So thanks very much for this little bit of insight into the upcoming Kali Linux support for SDR. And like I said, the link to that article will be in the show notes. So anybody who wants to check that out, go for it. And thanks, Surge, for being such a longtime faithful listener and giving us that information. It's great.
Excellent. Yeah, absolutely. Thank you, Serge. That's great indeed. ON4AA, Alcoholics Anonymous.
It's probably not saying Serge right. It's probably like Sergey.
Serge. Well, he's Belgian, would be French, so it would probably be Serge.
Serge?
Serge.
All right.
Ted just put in his whole pedigree there in the chat room from, I don't know where he's from.
Says Connell Dussartplein. Actually, Dussartplein sounds much more German than it does French.
Well, maybe they're just, you know, on the border with Germany.
Yeah, 3,500. Well, I don't know why I'm giving out this information. Never mind that. You can look it up in your favorite, you know, QRZ-type program. Oh, and by the way, if you're going to use a QRZ-type application, use hamqth.com.
Absolutely.
Yep. Awesome. Awesome package. Plus, you can get a developer license to it for nothing and write applications using their web, using their RESTful API. Awesome stuff. Oh, no, that was programmer talk again, wasn't it?
That's okay.
K5 talks, don't try to speak French, Harrison says. Well, excuse me.
We all have our specialties. You speak Yankee, I'll speak Canadian, eh?
Okay. All right, anyway, enough about that. So, what else we got? As he says, switching back to the Etherpad. I think that's it for the feedback, so we should probably do our social media roundup, and then I think we can call this one a canned episode.
Absolutely. We'll say thank you to Daniel F., who gave us a great big like in Linux in the Ham Shack podcast on the Facebook page, for those who haven't had a chance. We do have a Facebook presence, and as I said before, I'm going to try to be a little bit more present there as well, since, you know, I think it'll be interesting, get the ball rolling, get some more activity going. Hello to you, Daniel F., and also on Twitter we had some activity. We got some new followers, Stephen B. at Regal Ham, and Alan G. at VA4AJG. So welcome, guys. Thanks a lot for giving us the follows, and we hope you stick around.
Yeah, we certainly do. We appreciate all of our new listeners and all of our old listeners, too. You know, unlike the cable and satellite companies who give all of their benefits to the new folks, we actually give all of our benefits to everybody. I don't know if you've dealt with that kind of customer service stuff up there. I don't even know if you watch TV. So
we have TVs here.
Oh, you have TVs. That's good.
They're even flat.
Wow. All right. Well, I think we are done. We've been through the feedback. We've done our segments. We've been through the social media roundup. So I'm going to hit the old button and let you kind of walk us through the out.
Alrighty. Like to say a special hi to my good friends Dave and Mike, who are joining us in the chat room. Ham Radio friends of mine from New York State. So thanks for being there, guys. Thanks to all of our monthly, yearly subscriber. Thanks to everybody in the chat room who's joined us tonight. Huge, huge bunch of people in the chat room. So I'm glad to have you all there. A lot of activity. So that made it a lot of fun. Thanks to everybody who's listening live or via podcast. Check out our website, lhspodcast.info. You could reach us at info@lhspodcast.info, and you could leave us a voicemail at 1-909-LHS-SHOW, 1-909-547-7469. Subscribe to the mailing list. The link is on the website. Apologies. Cafe Press and Printfection, if you're looking for some merchandise, every purchase helps us out a little bit. And you can listen live every other Tuesday at 8 p.m. Central. And our recording schedule will be on the website. So thanks a lot, guys. We'll see you next week. This is Pete in Montreal, VE2XPL, saying 7-3.
All right. Thanks, Pete. Thanks for wrapping it up really nice with a tidy little bow on there. This is Russ, K5TUX, from between the peaks in the pine forest of north central Arkansas. I'm on all the social media. You know where to find me. I'm J.R. Woodman pretty much everywhere. If you can't find me using that, use K5TUX. The email addresses and everything are on the website. And if you don't know where to find me by now, I'm not sure you're ever going to figure it out. But send us some feedback. Give us a call on the voicemail line. We always love voice feedback. And thanks, as always, to our new and old listeners alike. We wouldn't do the show if it weren't for you. So that's been episode 113 of Linux in the Ham Shack. Thanks, everybody, for listening, and we'll catch you all in a couple of weeks.